You know, advice giving is also an addiction, by the way. We are all guilty of it at some point. So I'm not judging and saying only some people are that way. It's just that it's important to catch yourself and stop. Only give advice when either you can give very constructive, implementable advice, or you give advice when somebody asks you for it. The free advice, the more you listen to it, the more you encourage it, the more it's going to come in. And then, as I said, you know, it can be overwhelming, time-sucking, confusing. All those things will happen, and that's not good for you. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hello, gang. I hope you're all having a lovely week. My week was extremely busy. I mean, by my standards, it was extremely busy and packed. But at the same time, it was so fulfilling and joyful for me. A few days ago, I received an email from somebody who listens to my podcast and also recently subscribed to my newsletter. Her name is Anu from Kerala. And Anu, your message, your email really made my day. It always feels nice to get messages from you all, from my listeners, telling me why you listen to my show and how much of an impact it makes in your life. And Anu spoke a bit about her life and mindfulness, and I felt so, so nice to read that email from her. On the same day, I had sent out my newsletter to my Feel Good tribe. I told you about the newsletter in my last episode, and that's when Anu found out about it and subscribed to it. So as soon as somebody subscribes to my newsletter, they get a welcome email, and Anu replied to that and shared about, you know, how she got to know about the newsletter and then why she listened to the podcast and all those things. And I felt so good. Just that morning, I had sent out November's Feel Good Tribe newsletter, and soon after that, I got this message, and you know, it made me feel like, yes, all this work, all this love that I put in, it's so totally worth it. You know, it makes me so joyful when the message reaches the right people. And if you would like to join my Feel Good Tribe, that is what I call my newsletter subscribers, then go to my website veganosaurus.com/newsletter and you'll be able to join from there, and I'd love to have you on the tribe. Apart from Anu's message and then sending out my newsletter, I also got to coach a couple of lovely ladies who want to start a vegan business. It feels so nice to be able to talk to people and, you know, guide people and share information, that things that I have learned over the years, and then share it with them to make their lives smoother and easier. That was a jam-packed call, and it was deeply fulfilling. I always feel great at the end of a coaching call or a workshop, because teaching just lights me up from within and I can feel it. It's not even during the call. It's what I feel after I'm done. You know, once the workshop or the call or the session is over, when I just sit down to take those few moments and connect with the universe and just slow down and wind down and share my gratitude for a successful session, at that point of time, there's this high vibrational energy that I have feeling inside me, and it fills me up with so much inspiration, so much motivation to just keep doing all the work that I do, because, you know, it's making some kind of a difference in the world. I'm so grateful to all of you, you know, who listen to the show or who are on my newsletter or whoever's booked calls with me or attended my courses, workshops, any of them. And for keeping in touch, for sharing your experience with me, I feel so grateful to each and every one of you. So thank you so, so much for that. I'll get into today's episode. But before that, I just wanted to share my gratitude and my love with all of you. So today we continue on to the fifth episode of keeping your customers delighted while also maintaining your own sanity and joy. In today's episode, I'd like to talk about how you can deal efficiently and also peacefully with suggestions, feedback, and reviews, and how to communicate well with your customers. So I want to begin with suggestions. Now, suggestions are things which people who might be your customers or who might not even be your customers, just people surrounding you, you know, your family, friends, anybody who's just watching your business from afar. Suggestions are things that may come from them. Okay, suggestions are well intentioned. However, for a new business owner, they can be overwhelming and create a lot of confusion. It's very important to remember when people tell you, you know, do this, do that, add this, try that, why don't you do something different? When they just give you all their suggestions and opinions and, well, unwanted, unasked for advice, it's important to remember that all of them, or probably even most of them, have absolutely no background in the kind of business that you're running. They are telling you whatever they are, one, from the point of view of a user, of a consumer, or they're telling you their wishful dreams and thinking, right? If they thought from outside, if you're looking at a business and you think, oh, if I had this business, this is what I would do. So with zero experience, with zero knowledge about exactly what happens on the back end of a business, they ask you to try things. They shower you with lots of advice. To a limited amount, it's okay to listen to these suggestions or advice. But the reason you need to limit it heavily and draw those boundaries is so that you don't get confused, you don't get overwhelmed, and you don't second guess yourself. Because when you decide to do certain things in your conscious business, you would have done your research, you would have put a lot of thought into it. And you know, the equation is quite complicated, right? It's not as simple as, oh, I want to make this and sell it, I'm going to do it. It's not as simple as that. There are so many different things involved, like, say, how easy is it to create this product? How easy is it to pack it or send it across to provide this service? Does making this small change, does that simplify things for you or does it complicate things for you? There is so much. And then there are also things like, you know, the different people in your team and each person's capacity, capability, the amount of time available, the amount of bandwidth available, the availability of ingredients or packaging material. Oh my God, this is just the tip of the iceberg, everything that I'm listing out to you. So when you have all these 100 million things to consider and then take your decisions, if somebody just, you know, walks in and they're like, oh, do this, do that, try that, you shouldn't be second guessing your decisions based on that. Be polite, but also very firmly cut it off after a point. Kind of put it very clearly across them, because if somebody doesn't stop and they go on and on with trying to give quote-unquote suggestions and advice for your business without any knowledge of how to do it, how to actually run it, it's their wishful thinking. Their intentions are all right, but you know, you need to be very firm and cut them off. When we were running our restaurant, there were plenty of people, you know, they'd be in the vegan community. So of course, you know, they wanted a vegan business to grow and all those things. But they would come and give all kinds of sometimes weird and irrelevant or very difficult to do suggestions, advice which is difficult to implement. We'd be wasting our time just by even listening to it or even considering it. So there was this one person in particular who rarely came to eat at the restaurant to begin with. But whenever he came or whenever we'd meet, he'd be like, how's it going? And if we honestly say, okay, you know, right now times are a little tough or yeah, this is going good. Anything that we share, he would immediately launch into, oh, why don't you try to collaborate with this person? Why don't you try to do that? You should be doing this. You should be trying that. You aren't making full use of your potential, blah-de, blah-de, blah. After a point, I didn't, you know, I'm the kind of person who, I like to be kind. You know, I like to be polite to an extent. But I'm also very particular about establishing my boundaries and then after a point you're like, oh, you know, you just don't have the bandwidth to listen to any of that kind of stuff. So I very firmly told him, all this is great, but it's easy to give advice. It's when you try to actually implement it, when you try to actually make it happen, that's when it's difficult. So it's not as easy as it looks from the outside. He thought about it, and after that, I don't think he gave us advice anymore. At least this is so-called free advice anymore. Though he did, of course, share feedback about the food and all that. That is okay. That is always welcome. Then there was this other lady who was very environmentally conscious. She cared about the earth, of course, right? These things are all, you know, they kind of overlap. They're all intersectional, vegan and being healthy and organic and environment. All these things kind of, they are all different movements, but also which kind of support each other. It's like a Venn diagram. There are certain areas where you will overlap, but certain areas where there's nothing you can do, it will not connect. Initially, in the initial years of running our restaurant, we would buy tetra-packed soy milk. At that point of time, we didn't have enough staff to train how to make their own milks at first. And within a year's time, we were all making everything in-house. But right at the beginning, it was a little difficult. And of course, you know, when you make things from scratch, they don't have a very long shelf life. And you're not very sure, you know, at the beginning, how many people are going to come to the restaurant, stuff like that. So yeah, there were all these practical things that we took into consideration. And we decided, yeah, Tetra Pak soy milk is what will be purchased. And this lady who'd come in, and she would actually volunteer and help us also sometimes. And she's a really, really sweet person. But she one day got into a thing about, all these Tetra Pak things, and you shouldn't throw it with the other trash, and you should do this and do that, blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, hey, for us right now, it's difficult to implement it. It's difficult to not only coach our staff about segregation, which, you know, again, later on, we absolutely implemented that because we had help from outside to come and teach our staff how to handle things. But in those initial years, it was not the topmost thing on our mind when we were trying to run a vegan restaurant, very first vegan restaurant in the whole of the country. We were trying to run this. And at that point of time, if somebody comes and tries to push their other ideas onto you, it's kind of hard. So I said, I know you feel very strongly about this. So why don't you train our staff? Why don't you explain to them about how to segregate and how to deal with Tetra Paks? Also, please know that the garbage collectors will mix everything and take anyway. This is something we've seen regularly, at least back then. Now, in many areas, they do take the segregated waste separately, which is really good. But back then, they didn't care. Whatever work we put into it, they would still dump everything together and go. And we didn't really have the bandwidth to clean things, dry them up, keep them aside, and then call a recycling organization and give it to them and all that. So I asked her, I said, see, all these ideas that you're telling me, would you be able to make that happen? You know, you lead the project, you coach our staff, and then you connect with the recycling organization and get it sent to them. And she immediately like stepped back. I was like, no, you can't tell me to do all these things. I'm just telling you what should be done. So I said, hey, we don't have the bandwidth. But, you know, if you can't help us, then I'd appreciate you not going on about it to us. So it was quite an interesting experience. So these things, there is a way to deal with them. So my whole point in sharing these stories is you don't have to put anybody down, but you can put them on the spot. If somebody imposes a lot of thoughts on you, a lot of suggestions on you, which you cannot do, then you can put them on the spot, either say that easier said than done, you'll have to show us how to do it, or will you take on the responsibility of making this happen? Once this happens, once you put these boundaries in place and this kind of clarity in place, the suggestions that come in, the unwarranted suggestions that come in, will kind of slowly reduce and go away. But if you listen every time politely saying, yeah, you're right, okay, then it'll never stop. You know, advice giving is also an addiction, by the way. We are all guilty of it at some point. So I'm not judging and saying only some people are that way. It's just that it's important to catch yourself and stop. Only give advice when either you can give very constructive, implementable advice, or you give advice when somebody asks you for it. The free advice, the more you listen to it, the more you encourage it, the more it's going to come in. And then, as I said, you know, it can be overwhelming, time-sucking, confusing. All those things will happen and that's not good for you. Cutting it off is going to help you feel more confident about yourself, as well as the decisions that you make. And you can go inwards and follow your gut. You can, of course, do your research, because sometimes in some advice there may be some nugget of something, but without it getting to you, if it sounds somewhere doable, somewhere like, yeah, this is a good idea, let me think about how I can make this happen. If something comes to you that way, then fine, you know, you can do a little bit of research, a little bit of digging and implement it. But if it's something you just can't do right now, don't stress about it. Don't worry yourself about it. Because see, you are already running a conscious business in a world where most businesses don't really have many principles. With my vegan restaurant, I was doing this for the vegan movement, right? My business was for veganism. And not just that, we cared about people's health and well-being. We cared about many things. And we did the best we could at that point of time in terms of, you know, reducing wastage, reducing packaging, whatever we could. We couldn't be perfect. And neither can you. Nobody can be perfect. Nobody can implement 100 things together. So you have to pick your core values and stick to them no matter what. And then all the other additional values that come by, you do what you can, or you just ignore what you can't for now, or put it in the back burner. And definitely when suggestions come in, very firmly and politely stop the flow of these suggestions. Don't worry. You know, this is something I've repeated multiple times in this series. You know, don't be so worried about upsetting people or pissing them off. Because there are certain things where if you're saying it politely, if you're genuinely saying, you're not saying, oh, you know, screw the earth, I don't care about plastic. Okay, let me just use. You're not doing that, right? you're not actually willfully being non-conscious about things. You are doing the best you can, right? Despite that, if people are not happy that you won't listen to their suggestions or implement them, they are not your ideal customers. This is something I've been saying again and again. They're just not your ideal customers. And you will get the right ones, the balance ones, the ones who understand, who have certain expectations out of you as a conscious business, of course, but also who don't expect perfection out of you. And also people who give you implementable, very easy to do, who understand your position and say, okay, if you can't do this, then how about you do this for me? Say somebody wants a zero plastic packaging, which is understandable. It's something that they are passionate about, you know, doing good for the earth. They will say, you know what, I don't mind. I know glass is more expensive. I don't mind paying extra for the glass. You give me, you know, you use that. And then you've got this clear, implementable advice from them. You can definitely put that into place. There's a difference between somebody giving advice and suggestions in general or somebody saying, you do this for me and this is how I am willing to help you make that happen. See the clear difference between the two. You know, initially when I started out the episode, I wanted to club in suggestions, feedback, reviews and all of them. But I feel like each of these deserves its own episode, considering how much time this one has taken. I'll be back. Let us cover feedback, either feedback alone or feedback and reviews together at that point of time. All right, I hope that message helped you, gave you some kind of a clarity and confidence in your own decisions, in your own capacity. And be obliging, but also be very particular about your boundaries and protecting your energy and your bandwidth. Talk to you again soon with another episode of Keeping Your Customers Delighted while also maintaining your own sanity and joy. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, The Feel Good Tribe. The link is in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again very soon. Bye!